Okay, so I've been doing this series the last few weeks about redemption and restoration. And I was going to preach on my next message, and there was a verse that I thought that I would make some Father's Day points on. And then I just decided, I'll just make the whole message about fathers. But I'm still going to use one of my verses. And this is not going to be like an outline with a message that you're going to be taking a bunch of notes, probably. Is it okay if I just talk to you? That's what I do best anyway, is just talk. Ask Tracy, she could tell you. Ooh, yeah. One thing I got from my father, I think, was the gift of gab. I have the ability to speak. So anyway. Oh, you like my shirt, by the way? It accents my red face. You know? So, Ezra 1:5. And this is about God bringing back the people to rebuild Jerusalem and the temple and all the restoration and redemption of what they had lost when they were taken away into captivity. Verse says, then the heads of the fathers' houses of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites, with all whose spirits God had moved, rose to go up and build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. The first part of that verse is what we're going to talk about. The heads of the fathers' houses. Who would that be? You men. We are the heads of our houses. God has given us a very distinct role in our society to be the heads of our houses. A lot of men run from that. They're afraid of that. It scares them. They don't want that responsibility. They're afraid they'll mess it up, or maybe it's just too much. They get overwhelmed. But it is our responsibility to be the head of the house. And that doesn't mean that we're supposed to rule with a rod of iron or get crazy. It just means that we ought to be responsible to God. And if we're responsible to God, then we will do the things that God wants us to do as fathers, as men, as husbands, as brothers, as employees. You know, it affects every part of your life. God wants us to be godly in all of our aspects of life. So this is, I was going to get a flower, by the way, for you men. You know, the women, we gave flowers to them, but I didn't get no stinking flower. So I was going to put a real ugly picture of a flower up there, and I thought, yeah, that's corny. I won't do that. So I'll just tell you about it instead. That's better. Okay, so there's a few verses I want to read and just make some comments about them. Ephesians 6, Paul says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And then in Colossians, he says basically the same thing. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. So, I have a confession. I've provoked my children at times, and probably discouraged them at times. My dad did that to me at times. And I'm sure that we've all experienced that or done that. You know, it's not something I'm real proud of. I didn't like the way it felt when I was a kid. And so in my mind, I was thinking, when I'm an adult, I'm not going to do that to my kids. But I did it to them anyway sometimes. And the thing I like to say to you is that God is able to forgive that. And he's able to overcome that. And all the things that my dad did wrong, God has been redeeming in my life so that I don't have to repeat those same things. And all the things that I did wrong, my boys have a chance to now do that differently in their life when they're raising their children. And the same thing is available for you. You just have to be aware that God wants to redeem us. God always wants to redeem and restore our brokenness. And the way that we treat our children is a huge part of that. And we don't all get it right all the time. I'll just tell you, because we're not perfect. Kids can frustrate you. Especially the teenage kids. Whoa, yeah, can they frustrate you? I mean, I used to tell my oldest, she's like, you're going to be lucky if you live to be an adult. You know? I mean, he was challenging sometimes. And I'm sure I challenged my parents too. You know, my mother would probably say, oh, no, you were wonderful. But, you know, she's got those crazy glasses on. She sees everything, you know. She sees everything differently. But that's the way that parents ought to look at their children, with those crazy glasses, and they ought to see them with an eye that has hope, an eye that has love, an eye that has mercy and grace and compassion, an eye that sees the best, not fault-finding, looking at all the problems and weaknesses and areas where there's something's not right. You know, it's easy to be a nitpicker. I mean, just fault-finding all the time. Don't do that. Don't do it. Why are you doing that? You should have done it this way. What'd you do it that way for? You could have done that better. Wow. You know, I don't want to be like that. I want to be an encourager. I want to be like Barnabas. You know, I want to be an encourager, one who's saying, hey, you're great. You're doing good. Tell your kids. You can do anything you want to do in life. Tell strangers. You can do anything you want to do in life. Be an encourager. Don't be a provoker or a discourager. Okay, so as I said, I'm going to just make a few comments. Paul's talking to Timothy. He said, this charge I commit to you, son, Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck. So men, I would encourage you, just like Paul encouraged Timothy, wage the good warfare. You know, this is, life is not all fun and games. I mean, this is a struggle. But the way you approach it changes the outcome drastically. If you approach it knowing that you have a God that's there with you who is victorious, then you can approach it with a hope and an attitude of, yes, I can do this. If you approach it with the attitude of, I'm doomed, what's the point? It's going to be like this, it's going to be miserable, horrible, messed up forever, then that's what you're going to get. Paul was telling Timothy, wage a good warfare. He said, I laid hands on you and prayed for you, and God spoke things over your life. Don't give up on those things. Pursue those things. Live it out. Walk it out. Don't just give up on it. And man, it's not always going to be easy. There will be things that will be challenging, things with your relationships, wives and children, relationships at work, your job, your finances, your time, your responsibilities, all those things. You have to get your mind right and say, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to shirk my responsibilities. I'm not just going to go, you know, chill out and drink a few cold ones, just forget about all my problems. You know, be a man. Be a man. Step up and take the role that you're supposed to take. Proverbs 1, Solomon, he was a wise guy. I mean, he was a really wise man, not a wise guy. My son, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. He's giving him some good advice. He's saying, if you listen to what we say, you know, it's going to be like wearing this really cool jewelry, and you're going to be protected, and you're going to be smart, and you're going to be successful, and it's all going to go well for you. And if your friends say, come on, let's go do this, say, not going to do it. See, when you're in school, your friends are all saying, your parents don't know, you know, no, those old people, they don't know. You know, come, I got all the answers. I'm 16, man, I know everything. I got it all figured out. You know, they always say your parents seem really dumb until you get to be about 25, and they seem to get a lot smarter. And by the time you get to be about 40, Your parents are like the smartest people in the world. You know, we all go through that. That's part of life. Children, they think they know things that they don't really know. They think they see things that nobody else can see. But as adults, you know, we've lived through all that very same stuff. We walked through all those same problems, the pimples on your face, the bad hair days, and, you know, the challenges from your friends. You know, you're a sissy. No, I'm not. We've been through it all, seen it all. The commercial, was it Allstate or whatever, State Farm, whatever it is. We've seen a few things. Yeah. We've seen a few things. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds, that's wisdom, wisdom's proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and wisdom's gain is better than fine gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with wisdom. Length of days is in her hand, in her right hand. In her left hand is riches and honor. Her ways are of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Happy are all who retain her. Wisdom is a good thing. And fathers, men, hopefully you've learned some things about wisdom. One thing I found out as I've gotten older, you get kicked in the teeth a few times and enough times, and you begin to wise up, hopefully. Maybe not. Some of us at our age now, we just keep making dumb choices. But generally speaking, with age and with experience, you gain wisdom. A young man's strength is his, you know, his physical strength, but an old man's strength is his wisdom. You know, your gray hair, you didn't get that by just shirking all your responsibilities. You got that from worrying and fretting over the details. Raising your children, your dealing with things that men do. It's not easy, but it can be very rewarding. Psalms 112, David says, "Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed." That's a good Father's Day verse. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. So, men, if you've lived uprightly, if you've honored the Lord, if you've walked with the Lord, that is a promise to you that you can say, "Lord, bless the generations that come from me." You believe that? I believe it. Wealth and riches will be in his house. His righteousness endures forever. Under the upright there arises light in the darkness. He's gracious and he's full of compassion and righteous. That's talking about the man. That's not God, although it's God's qualities in man. Let me read that again. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Under the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious, full of compassion, and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be an everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. And I just want you to know, we have enemies. The biggest one, it is the enemy, the devil. And he is constantly scheming and working, trying to mess your life up. Jesus said he came only to steal, kill, and destroy. Pretty much wants to wreck your life in any way he can. He does it by whispering in your ear. He tells you you're a flop, you're a failure, you'll never be any different. It's the way you've always been. There's no hope. You might as well just give up, put it all down, and just don't even try anymore because it's not going to work for you. That's the way the enemy talks to you. He says, yeah, you really messed up last week. You can't go to church and worship. You're unworthy. Yeah, I'm unworthy. But in the Lord, he has made me worthy. We can acknowledge our failures and not be beat up because there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The final verse in this passage is, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever, his horn will be exalted with honor. Men, be generous. Teach your children to be generous. I went to a funeral yesterday for Roger Grizzard. It was a tremendous outpouring of love and support. Had it at the high school. Auditorium was filled. And everybody was talking about how good of a man Roger Grizzard was. His daughter was giving this eulogy, and she said, I think my dad gave away more stuff than he sold up there at that store. And she asked the question. She said, if you ever got a free drink or a free pizza or a free meal or a free shirt, anything, she named them myself, said, would you stand up? Every person in the auditorium stood up. It was a great example for how a man ought to be. Generous, dispersing abroad, giving to the poor, lending and not expecting in return. You can't just give away everything, but it ought to be part of your character that you want to be generous. Because if we want to be like our Father in heaven, we will be generous because he is giving. Proverbs 4. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father. Give attention to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender, and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings. The years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I've led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. This is Solomon talking about what his father told him when he was a boy. I think he listened. Because when he was first king, God came to him and appeared to him, and he said, ask anything you want, and I'll give it to you. And what did Solomon ask for? He said, Lord, I want wisdom and understanding so I can lead these great people of yours. And God said, I'm going to give you that. And so much more, because you didn't ask for riches and wealth and a long life and power over your enemies. I'm going to give you all that too. It's the exact same thing that we've been reading in these verses, right? David, Solomon, both are saying, men, if you'll have wisdom, hold on to wisdom and understanding. Incline your heart and your ears to that. If you'll do that, all that other stuff will come to you too. Everything will come to you if you operate the way that God intends for you to operate. Worship team, y'all can come back up. I just want to encourage you. You know, the men in my life have not all been good. And I know I'm not the only person that would say that. I had coaches and teachers and co-workers at times, different people in my life that were not good influences on me. They wounded me. They hurt me. They said discouraging things to me. But I don't want to live under that for the rest of my life. I want to allow God to heal me. So what I've been doing every morning when I pray, I ask the Lord to shine the light of His glory into my heart and expose darkness, expose areas where I've been wounded, expose areas where I've harbored unforgiveness and resentment, areas where because of things that happened to me, I need to have my soul healed because I can't think right about stuff because I was wounded. As a child, there were situations where someone humiliated me or someone hurt me physically. Someone said something to me that really wounded me. Because of that, a situation comes up in life now, and I immediately, that's how I respond because that's a part of me. I don't want to be like that. And I've been praying this, and God has been bringing things to my mind. And as He brings them to my mind, I begin to confess them. And I say, Lord, I see now that I've had a bad attitude about this. I've got fear in this area of my life because of something I experienced as a child. I've got anxiety or anger. I've got frustration. People that hurt me or hurt my children, I've got frustration and resentment and bitterness, unforgiveness because you did wrong to me or my kids. As I've been praying that, God's been bringing those things to my mind and I've been dealing with them. I've been confessing them and I've been repenting and I've been asking Him to heal me and cleanse me, cover me with His blood. And folks, I'm telling you, it's changing me. It's working. It's working. And it can work for you the same way. Just open your heart up and say, Lord, shine that light into me. Expose all those things so I can get them out there and get them right. Because what we were 20 years ago or 50 years ago or 2 days ago, that doesn't matter now. We just want to be healed so that when we move forward, we're pressing towards the mark, the high calling. We're pressing towards what we're supposed to be doing. Instead of living in the past, let's move forward. Amen? Let's stand and worship. Ezra, that very first verse we read, it was talking about the fathers of the houses, and it said those whose spirits the Lord had stirred up said, rise up and build. Rise up and build. Men, I want to encourage you today. Let God stir you up. Let God stir you up and rise up and build. You can be more than you think you can be. You can be the man who God has called you to be, but you have to rise up. Don't just say, I'm going to be like this. Say, I'm going to be changed. I'm going to be changed. I am a new creation in Christ. All that old stuff is behind me. There is no condemnation now. I'm free. Hallelujah. We're shaking off those chains. We're moving on. Moving on up. Hallelujah. Rise and build. Rise and build. Amen. Thank you for that amazing grace, that love that never ends, that love that keeps calling us, Lord. No matter how many times we stumble and fall, your love and grace just keeps calling us. You keep saying, come, come to me, come to me. Oh, thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that, Lord. I want everybody, as we're praying, just get heads bowed, eyes closed, anybody looking around, but I just want to ask, if there's someone here, maybe you've never said yes to Jesus. you want to do that today, or maybe you've done that, but you've been walking in a way that you know you're out of whack and you need to get back on the right track. You want to make a commitment like that to the Lord and say, from this point forward, I want to walk with you. I want to serve you. I want you to be my Lord, and I want to give my life to you fully. If you want to do that, will you just slip your hand up so that we can pray with you? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. All right, then, I'm going to ask that every one of us make this commitment to the Lord that we would say, Lord, I invite you. I invite you, Lord Jesus, come and stir my heart. Stir my heart so that I would rise up to build, that I wouldn't be content with being who I've always been, but I would want to rise up, build a place for you to dwell in, Lord God, that you would come and dwell in my heart, that you would be able to come and live and dwell there because I've created an atmosphere that you can live in. Oh, God, it's only through your grace that it can happen, but we gotta say yes to you. Help us, Lord Jesus, to say yes. Shine the light of your glory into us so that we can have all of our weakness and our failings and our flaws and our darkness exposed, Lord. Bring healing and love and health and wholeness to us. Heal us and raise us up to newness of life, Lord. I thank you for that. Now, Lord, let this be a beautiful, happy, blessed Father's Day for every man here. May the Lord bless you, keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his perfect peace. Go and be blessed. Thanks for coming. Have a great time. Get out of here. Yeah.